We're going to be in Genesis chapter 4. We've made it through three chapters already. So the goal here is let the word explain itself, right? I read scripture, we go through scripture each chapter, each week, and I give a little bit of insight into the breakdown of that scripture. But at least at the end of the day, we're walking out of here with one chapter done out of the Bible. And so we see in today's world where the world overruns any priority when it comes to God, and people will find every excuse to not get into the Word of God or not come to church or not to do anything that is honoring of communion or relationship with our Lord and our Savior. So this way, for people that are here or maybe people that go online, they're hearing a chapter at a time. I don't know what God will do with that, but I know even when we seem to be a few, we still got to be obedient. And at times, that can be hard, but we just have to be obedient by faith, basically. And so we're in chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4. I couldn't find any better artwork, but I think we get the gist of what's going to be happening here. And so today, as we focus on Genesis chapter 4, this portrays the story of Cain and Abel. This is not just historical, but it holds invaluable lessons about human nature, consequences, and the fall, and the actions of these moments in our life that we do that steps outside of God's plan and God's design. But this is also a chapter that shows you God's mercy and love and his redemptive plan. And so we start off Genesis 4 with the sacrifices of that Cain and Abel offer to the Lord. But it begins with Cain and Abel, the sons of who? Adam and Eve, right? And so they are in the process of giving their sacrifice, their offerings to the Lord. So Abel, he's a shepherd. So this is probably one of the longest standing professions there are, is a shepherd, which he brought the best of his flock. I don't know if you were driving here, I don't know if they got it fixed, but on my way to church this morning, I'm so used to seeing a field full of cows, but today the cows were on the road. Yeah, and so the fence, their boundaries got broke down, and so I was like, drove around, and I was like, something's out of place here, right? But if you look at the field, these are grass-fed cows, and we know they're taken care of. And so in a sense, this shepherding, he brought the best offering of that flock. You know, today it almost turned into a collision, but think about this. But then Cain, he was a farmer. Shepherds and farmers, they've been around forever. And so he brought some of his produce. And God accepts Abel's offering, but rejects Cain's. And so when we read this, we can see where this rejection then prompts inside of Cain to harbor resentment, bitterness, jealousy towards his brother. And this is a thing that we see today, that you have siblings, and either it's through favoritism or their own efforts in life and the other lack of efforts in life, and then they get jealous towards one another. So today, we're going to look at this resentment, this jealousy, and what this turns into. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Father, Lord, just thank you so much. Thank you for the times to where we don't offer up our first fruits of our labors, Father, the gifts that you've given us. Forgive us where we fall short, Father, and just help us see through Genesis chapter 4 what you need us to learn today, what we need to take away from here, and how we can apply these words of you to our life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. So we're going to start off Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through, what are we going to go through? It looks like 5. So let's read. Adam made love to his wife, Eve. Some versions say knew. So when you see the word he knew his wife, then that means an intimate relationship. So Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." So if we looked back in the previous chapters, we saw that God was telling out this redemptive plan. And so it's most likely right here in this moment that Eve thought that Cain was the seed of what God promised, the deliverer from that would come from Eve. And so there's a sense here where she's holding this baby thinking, this is the man that the Lord has given me. And she thought he was the coming Messiah, her firstborn son. But in reality, she wasn't holding the Messiah. She was holding a murderer. And so it's very profound. And then verse 2 says, later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. So here we're, in my head, I'm sitting there thinking, like, what happened? Like, what's the difference between the two? And, you know, and there's so many debates on it, but if you fast forward in the Bible and you look at the writer of Hebrews, he clearly states and gives us a reason why this happened. And he says, and this is Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Cain's offering was the effort of a dead religion. It's just showing up. It's just doing because you have to. It's tradition. It's nothing other than. But then Abel's offering was done in faith. It was Abel's desire in his heart to worship God. Does that make sense? To where what he offered God was from the heart, to where and his brother offered was just from the ground. So there's a big difference of how we look at these things. And when we're offering our services and our lives to the Lord, is it just something that's a produce from the gifts that God's given you, or is it from the gifts that God's given you but coming and driven from the truth and desire of the spirit of your heart? Those are big differences. So Abel's sacrifice was offered with this heart of obedience and reverence. Like, I love you, Lord. I love you with all my heart. Where Cain's lacked sincerity and wholehearted devotion. We see these two individuals today in the world we're living in. We see the fully devoted that still slip and fall, but we see the ones that have no sincerity and no wholehearted devotion. Look around. So this teaches us, just in these short few verses, of the importance of genuine worship to the Lord and giving our best to God in all aspects of life. Without it, we see here Cain's jealousy festers. God warns him of the dangers of sin lurking at his door, right? And so, despite this warning from God, Cain allows his jealousy to spiral in this vicious anger, leading him to commit the ultimate sin. He murdered his own brother. And the consequences of this murder and of Cain's actions not only affected Abel and the family, it's affected the generations to come. And it stained the fabric of humanity with violence. Let's read verses 6 through 8. Then the Lord God said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The Lord God didn't have to ask, why are you angry? He knew. Sometimes he wants to verbalize, he wants you to verbalize what's inside your heart outwardly, right? But then his face was downcast. So, you know, if you're a parent or if you have kids or you have friends, you see the like something's on their face, they just don't seem right. God here says, why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, right? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what's wrong, then sin's crouching at your door. So obedience and genuine worship to the Lord is key. It's setting yourself apart because of God and because of Christ to do what is right, the next right thing. And where do we figure out what is right? It's not here. It's not here. It's here, right? So we need to always do this process of decision-making built around the model of the Word of God. Because at times, I'm angry. At times, my face is downcast. At times, I'm in the flesh. So if I immediately respond, then I'm going to respond in a worldly, fleshly way, which hurts and damages people. But if I slow down and look at this, and I just have that still soft voice in my head saying, my grace is sufficient for you. Think about this. So if I'm frustrated, I'm going through these moments where I have to make a decision where I don't want to do what I think I do, but I should do what he's telling me to do, right? I got to lean on him. I got to lean on the word. Because jealousy and anger are powerful emotions. And I think jealousy and anger rule a lot of the people of why I counsel. But if it's left unchecked, this can lead to destructive behavior or harm to others or self. We call these in the counseling world maladaptive behaviors. You take someone and they've lived a good little life and then something happens to them and this anger and this jealousy resides in them. Well, then they're going to start skewing their behaviors and their actions around these powerful but I wouldn't say they're wicked emotions. They serve a purpose. But if they go unchecked, they turn wicked. The devil plays on your heart and mind. So we know that spiritual warfare, from what we've talked, is not all around us in the sense of when we see creepy, crawly things and things, objects move. Spiritual warfare is an attack between the two ears. That's connected here. So we always have to remember that. We have to check these emotions and then ask why. Self-evaluate yourself of why am I responding the way I'm responding or why am I thinking the way I'm thinking. Most of the time, jealousy and anger is going to come from a pride issue. Small and minute. And sometimes you might not even be thinking it, it just happens, but it's usually a pride issue. So we must heed God's warning and guard our hearts against such sinful actions, right? And so we seek his guidance and we seek his grace to overcome these things. But after slaying his brother, Cain is confronted by who? God, pursuing us, even in the midst of the chaos that we cause, right? But he curses him and banishes him from the land. Cain's cry was, my punishment is more than I can bear. So that cry out loud, we might look at this and like, is it really that bad? But it reveals the weight of his guilt. It reveals the magnitude of this punishment that God set upon him. But despite this plea, God shows mercy by placing a mark on Cain to protect him from retaliation. You can't stay here, you got to go, but I'm still going to protect you. You've done all this, you've broken the ultimate commands, your sinful nature, you're no longer part of me because of the fall, but I'm still in love with you. And I'm still going to protect you from retaliation. This is long, but if you want to pull out your Bible or the phone, Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. We don't know what this mark is. But do you see where this punishment was so much for Cain because he's going to be outside of the presence of the Lord? I love this because Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, right? Those flaming swords and the cherubim blocked the way. They could never go back. But we knew, too, that God walked in the midst of the cool of the day with them. Well, since they were disobedient to God, God kicked them out from the garden. But obviously, God was still visiting, right? We don't know if God was visiting out in the environment or did he meet them at the gate. We don't know these things. But we know there was still communication with Adam and Eve, Cain, outside of the garden. So even in the face of this grave sin, God's mercy shines through. It doesn't negate the consequence. God's not saying, "I'm just going to brush your murder under the rug." No, consequences still come. And those consequences of today for us can be positive or negative consequences, right? So sometimes our actions that we do and we're obedient is going to have a positive consequence. Or there's a negative consequence. But like Cain, we must take responsibility for our choices and accept those consequences. That's some of the hardest things to do today, but that shows your character, and we know that's an attribute is of a good-natured person, is to own that responsibility. We see too many people walking around today that will not own responsibility for their sinful natures. And that just leads to more delusion, more reprobate minds. But if we own where we failed or fall short and give it back to the Lord and then accept that consequence, what is to come? Okay, we have to think about this, but we have to trust in God's grace to guide us through this repentant heart and this redemptive nature. We have to seek God. So as we go on, there's hope and redemption. I love this because despite Cain's grievous sin, murder, killed his own brother, God's mercy and grace remained available to him. Cain, marked and exiled, still finds hope in God's promise of protection. Isn't God good? Think about this. So this serves as a testament to God's unfailing love and his desire for reconciliation with his wayward children. That's you, me, right? So God is always pursuing his children. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city, and he named it after his son Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mahalalel, and Mahalalel was the father of Methuselah, and Methushel, and Methushel was the father of Lamech. Okay? I love some of these words. The names are tough because they're foreign. And if you don't practice them, you kind of butcher them. But genealogy is always important. Because I know when we're sitting here, aren't you proud to be from who you're from, right? And it sets a purpose to know who you're from and why you're there and what happened in your life. So here, genealogy is always attached because it's a reference point. Lamech married two women, one named Adah and the other Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who lived in the tents and raised livestock. His brother was Jubal, his father, and he was the father of all who played string instruments and pipes. That's pretty neat to think about, right? Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron, and Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah. So you see this. Like, you're seeing the foundations of a lot of the skill sets that we're using today. We all play instruments in this room, right? So here is the father of all, string instruments. That's just neat to think about. But then it says, Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son named Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel. Since Cain killed him, Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. At the time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. So we see how God is a God of order. God gives us these gifts, and these gifts are established. We all have different skill sets, and they grow into communities, and they impact the communities. So no matter how far we may have strayed away from God, His arms are always open to receiving us. Through repentance and turning back to Him, we find this redemption and this restoration through His Son, Jesus. This is the connecting point. Because at this point, even though God still loves us and His mercy is more than we can understand, and that love is more than we understand, when we're in this act of sin, guess what? We're no longer in the presence of the Lord. Think about this. We're no longer in the presence. So, through His Son, the redemptive acts of the cross allows us to have this repentant heart that connects us back to the Lord, and He sees us once again as the children He designed originally. So like Cain, we have to seek God's forgiveness. Cain was obedient to leaving. Cain was obedient to wandering around. His life, even though that he sinned against God through murdering his brother, his life didn't stop, did it? Cain went on to build a city and had kids, and the city grew. However, the more we go into the Bible, we're going to see more of this foundations of how these consequences happen. So we have to seek forgiveness, and we have to embrace God's grace, even in the moments to where we're wayward, okay? So here we finish chapter 4. That's pretty neat. I'm checking it off as we go, and I'm posting them online. So as we conclude our reading of Genesis chapter 4, let us write on the tablets of our hearts the profound impacts of sin and the rebellion against God. Like, this is something we have to write on the tablet of our heart to understand what happens. We're removed from the presence of God. That was something that was such a weight that Cain couldn't bear. But we take for granted in today's world. How many people really care if they're apart from God or not in today's world? God is an afterthought. So we have to strive to offer God our best in all that we do. Worship, obedience. We have to guard our hearts against sinful inclinations. We have to take responsibility for our actions, and we have to find hope in God's boundless mercy and love and grace. So, like Cain, we have to turn to Jesus, turn to God with these repentant hearts, trusting in God that He's going to lead us with this unfailing love, and that He is going to lead us on this path of righteousness through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no way in this world can we ever sit here and say, that I restored my relationship with God. It's impossible. We cannot do it. But yet we have people and religions out there saying the more you do, the more you're going to have in salvation or create the sense of salvation. I'm going to save myself. The Bible shows us of people that were trying to do this for years and years. It cannot happen. So God sent His Son. And it's through His Son that we're made right, that whoever shall believe, right? That belief in His Son, that He defeated death, He rose again. We're coming upon Easter, right? We have so many people that are looking for the joyous day of the Easter Bunny versus what happened through Christ. I'm not knocking the Easter eggs and the fun activities, cool, but don't let that be your idol. Don't let that be the sole purpose why you wake up in the morning, you take a breath of the day of Easter. Friday should be a day that we mourn, that Good Friday. But it's also a day that we should celebrate because Jesus, truly God, truly man, came to earth and fulfilled what His daddy told Him to do. For us, God didn't need to be saved. We did. So if we look at Friday, we look at it, and we see what Jesus was going through and what's going to happen. But here we know, because of the Word of God, that Jesus died on the cross but was raised 3 days later. He defeated death. We know this because we have it here. And if you're in Christ, it should be here. The Holy Spirit should be in you. So when we Friday, we're going to have an Easter festival here. We're going to have a time because we rejoice when people rejoice and we mourn when people mourn. So we don't have to stay in mourning because Christ died because we know He defeated death. We're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice in His obedience. Because His obedience role modeled our model for obedience. That He went to the cross. He was obedient to the point of death. Okay? So Friday, we're going to come and we're going to celebrate. We're going to enjoy these moments. And then Sunday, we're going to celebrate the moment He is risen. That He went to His disciples. He traveled, even doubting Thomas. Had to say, I'm not going to believe it until I stick my finger in His side and His wounds. And Jesus showed him. So, as we conclude chapter 4, we see what sin does. And we see the profound impact of sin and the violence that comes from it and the separating and tearing apart because Cain could no longer be with his parents. And I don't know if I would want my son, if he did that to my son, to be with me anyways. So maybe God here set him apart to reduce a burden off of what Adam and Eve was going to have to do. I don't know this. This is just my thoughts. But think about that. You love your son so much, and then your son did this to your other son. And then God steps in and says, you got to go. And as a parent, I'm thinking, it takes the burden off that. It takes that pain because we don't ever focus on what Adam and Eve were going through. She thought she was holding the baby Messiah that God promised, but she held a murderer. And this murderer she loved because it was her son. So we take from this that we're never going to understand God completely in what He does and His plan. And I don't know. We're going to pursue the pursuit of understanding how much He loves us. Because when the enemy says you're not worth it, you're no good, you can't do it, you fail people, you let people down, listen to God and says, no, son, I'm pursuing you and loving you through your wayward nature. That when Christ is inside of us, then I'm looking at you and I see my son, Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Father, Lord, just thank you so much for this reminder that sin does crouch at the door, that these emotions and these feelings that we have need to be put in check based off the Word of God, Father. That these feelings and these emotions, if they go unchecked, it turns into more hateful, violent actions, which turns into separation from you, Father. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his obedience. Thank you for what he's done and how he role modeled his life for us, Father. Thank you for being obedient and even to the point of death, Father. Forgive us where we fall short. Forgive us where we put things above you, Father. Forgive us where we make you an afterthought, Father. Father, we just ask that you be with us today. Help these words resonate in the tablets of our heart and be written so deep they can never be removed. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.